If you have your Bibles, I hope you do. Let me see your Bibles this morning. All right. Praise the Lord. That's great. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, the Lord Jesus left us two ordinances. Left two of them for us. One is baptism. And that is the immersing of a believer underwater, bringing him back up, which symbolizes the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The other we're going to celebrate this morning, and that is the Lord's Supper. And it is also a symbolic ordinance. Yet it holds one of the great and deep meanings for us as Christians. Because in the Lord's Supper, we find the reason for our very existence as believers, our hope, and our future as well. The Lord's Supper was started by Jesus himself on the eve of his crucifixion. In Matthew chapter 26, it says, "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' He replied, 'Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover." Now, just to give you a little context, in Jesus' day, each family would bring a lamb to the priest for dedication. Then they would kill the lamb, they would roast the meat, and then they would have what was called the Passover feast. And that is just a memorial from what happened almost 3,000 years ago, at what we call the original Passover. And that was the time when the nation of Israel was in bondage in Egypt. And remember all the plagues that came upon all of them, and then finally the death of the firstborn? In Exodus chapter 12, God says this, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So if anybody wants to know why we keep doing it, because the Lord told us it was everlasting, it was going on forever and ever and ever. Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the Passover feast and gave it a radically different interpretation. He really did. He was showing us ultimately what that Passover represented. Jesus was the Passover lamb. The blood on the doorpost in Egypt was simply a symbol of his blood that covers the sin for those who will receive his forgiveness and his protection. You see, the simple message of the Lord's Supper is this: because of the dying of the body of our Lord, because of the shedding of his blood, a holy God can pass over our sins. That's why today is a celebration. I hope you consider it a celebration, because it is. We didn't come here to mourn somebody who was dead. We came to celebrate someone who's alive. Amen? Ever since the early Christians met secretly in houses to remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord, the church has been celebrating the communion service. And of all the things we do as a church, the one event that should hold the most meaning for us is the Lord's Supper. Now, far too often, communion is kind of an afterthought. Well, you know, we do it every month. Folks, it's far more than that. It's an opportunity for the church to worship the Lord by remembering what he did for us on Calvary. And it's a time for us to reflect on what our walk with the Lord is all about. So you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right? Is this thing on? Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Amen. All right, thank you. And here the Apostle Paul gives us his account of the Lord's Supper, which he said he got directly from Jesus on the road to Damascus. The Lord's Supper, how it's to be observed and what it is. So the first thing that we need to look at is the Lord's Supper is a time of commemoration. Look at verse 23 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the scripture we have heard this morning. And I pray that you would just bring it home so that we could understand what it is. And then we would be able to rejoice in the celebration of the Lord's Supper today. Guide us in all that we do. And we'll be sure and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're told specifically we're to remember nothing else at this moment, this morning, right now, except Jesus and his body and his blood. He's to be our sole focus in everything that we do. This is a time we're to get away from everything. Get away from the emotional struggles we're having. Get away from the mental problems that we're having. Get away from all the daily struggles. Folks, if you don't think there are daily struggles, you just haven't been anywhere at all, because they're everywhere. We're finally being allowed now to go out of our houses. And that, praise the Lord, I'm glad for that. I was absolutely going crazy. And some people say it didn't have far to go, but that's another subject altogether. And so we have all of these struggles, all these things that are on us over and over and over again. And these things really stop us from totally committing ourselves to the Lord and His will for our lives. It's interesting, Jesus never told us to remember his birth. He never told us to remember his life. But he specifically said we are to remember his death. His death. In fact, in verse 20 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's called the Lord's Supper. He's the host, and our focus is to be solely on him and what he did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. How many of you have either seen or heard of the movie The Passion of the Christ? All right, most of us have. Well, folks, it's not just a movie. It is a feast. It's a supper. It is a celebration. There's not a more beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us and what he means to us than the Lord's Supper. So, the Lord's Supper is a time of commemoration. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is a time of appreciation. Verse 24 says, And when he had given thanks. When he had given thanks. This is a time when we come to the table and we thank God for sending his Son to let his body be sacrificed on the cross, let his blood be shed so that our sins could be forgiven. This is a great time for us to remember why we are here. What are we doing here? Folks, we can bring our defeats and our trials and our valleys and our hurts and our struggles to the Lord and let him remind us he hasn't forgotten us. No way. We know the verse, Romans 8:28, right? And God causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are according to his purpose. Listen, I don't care what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter. It matters to you, and you understand what I'm saying. The Lord got this. No matter what your problem is, God's got it. And he's going to use it to bring about good and his praise. We also walk in victory because of the Lord. Paul said, Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only does he take care of us, but we're victors. And then I love Romans chapter 8. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I don't see why we should walk around as Christians with our heads hung down when we are who God says we are, let's believe it and let's act upon it, right? That's why we ought to come to this table with grateful hearts, thanking God that He gave His Son as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Andre Crouch wrote a song many years ago, and it puts it perfectly. How can I say thanks for the things that you've done for me? Things so undeserved, and that you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am, or ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. With His blood, He saved us. With His power, He raised us. Folks, to God be the glory for what He has done in our lives. And because of all of that, we can give thanks. So it's a time of commemoration. It's a time of appreciation. Thirdly, it's a time of proclamation. Verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim," and that word means to publicly proclaim, "the Lord's death till He comes." Do you realize that when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are a sermon in motion? We really are. It's probably the most eloquent sermon about the death of Jesus that could ever be preached. Now, I know people who are puzzled by the fact that we Baptists, I love you, we Baptists, are sticklers about things like baptism and the Lord's Supper. You know, you guys, there are people say, "I don't understand the big deal about baptism." I really don't. Why does it matter whether or not you baptize by immersion or sprinkling? Have you all heard that? Maybe it's run through your head? Well, let me think back. You remember when Jesus first came in His public ministry? He presented Himself and John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus walked up to John and said, "I want you to baptize me." And John said, "No way." I'm paraphrasing. "No way. You ought to be baptizing me." And Jesus made a stunning announcement. "It's the right thing to do." Folks, it's the right thing to do. When you become a Christian, the very first thing you ought to do is be baptized. And you need to be baptized by immersion. And we're going to look at that in just a second so you understand what's happening here. So Paul's meaning is clear. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. So as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that, I don't think. Baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Isn't that the gospel? Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? "For I delivered unto you first that which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Folks, that's the gospel. So that's why we're so locked in to baptism. Well, what about the Lord's Supper? Folks, it represents the body of Christ. The red juice represents the grape of the blood that was shed from our Lord. And unless we observe them the way they're to be intended to be observed, the whole picture of salvation is not clear. I mean, we see denominations today all the time who are messed up about either baptism or communion, the Lord's Supper. You look at their statements about salvation. It's messed up. Because when you confuse the meaning of baptism, when you confuse the meaning of communion, then you really don't have a clear understanding of what it means to be saved. So the Lord's Supper is a time of commemoration, appreciation, proclamation, and number four, it's a time of examination. Examination. Look at verse 27. "Therefore, whosoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in doing so, he eats the bread and drinks the cup." Now that word "examine" means to prove or to qualify. In other words, before you take the Lord's Supper, you got to make sure you're qualified. That's the basics of it, qualified. So does it mean to be qualified? Well, number one, you have to accept the Lord Jesus. You have to ask for forgiveness of your sins. That's number one. Number two, you're willing to be honest about anything in your life that's not the way it ought to be. You need to take care of it before you take this the Lord's Supper. And if you've done those two things, then you're qualified. That's how simple it gets. So if there's any known sin in your life, you need to identify it, first of all. And do you need to correct something in your life? You need to rectify it. You need to confess it and ask for forgiveness for that particular sin. And then purify it. Make sure that your heart is clean before the Lord. Now, please understand what the point Paul is making here is. You know, there are some people who won't take Holy Communion. They will not partake of the Lord's Supper because they have unconfessed sin in their life. Folks, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is not for you to come and hold on to your sin and not take the Lord's Supper. The purpose is for you to, through the Holy Spirit, recognize that there is something wrong, get it right, so that you can take the Lord's Supper. So, it's a time of commemoration, it's a time of appreciation, it's a time of proclamation, it's a time of examination. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought you were only supposed to have 3 points in a poem. Well, I'm doubling up, all right? Number five, the Lord's Supper is a time of consideration. Verse 33 says, so then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Consider one another. See, the Lord's Supper is a time when not only are we taking, remembering the Lord, but we ought to remember one another. Remember that Jesus died for the person beside you. He cares for the people, the person in front of you. And he loves the person behind you. So folks, so should we, right? We ought to be praying for one another all the time. How many of you don't have a directory? Everybody's got one? Oh, Candace, you don't have one. Bless your heart, you will after today. Okay, good. That's a perfect way to be able to have a prayer list. Because you can go down that prayer list. You can go down and you can pray for the members of our church. That's something that we can do. Consider one another. Pray for one another. And here's number six, as I said, doubling up. Number six. The Lord's Supper is a time of anticipation. Verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Hot dogs. Pastor's going to get on. The Lord's coming. Yes, I am. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we're not only looking backwards, we are looking forward. When we take this supper, it's only until he comes back. And that word comes back means to make his appearance. Now, I'm not going to get into a long dissertation about what we mean by his second coming. Whether listen, folks. One of these days, the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul said, comfort one another with those words. Woo! Wow. Pastor, I didn't know you could memorize all those scriptures. So, folks, when you get something in your heart, it's just hard to keep it in there. You want to share it with other people. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. You see, the same Jesus who was born of a Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect life, who died a sinless death, who was raised from the dead, and one day is coming back to take his people home, that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's a service that ought to stir our hearts. Folks, one day, one glorious day, I don't know where I'm going to be, I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I'm just looking forward to being walking down the street one day, and then in the blink of an eye, I'm going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. You guys don't look real excited about that. Yeah, just a pile of clothes. That's it. Gone. See, so when the bread and the juice is passed in just a few minutes, you already have them. Remember, Jesus is coming back. That's the reason. Do this in remembrance of me till I return. So let me wrap this up. Who's worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper? The answer is very simple. Anyone who is saved, living for the Lord, is worthy. Not in ourselves, not of ourselves, but we're made worthy through the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus who was sacrificed on that old rugged cross. That makes us worthy. But you know, before we have our time at the Lord's table, we need to have our time at the Lord's altar. We really do. So if you're not saved, and you know, I say this all the time, folks, you know I do this, I don't know your hearts. I really don't. Somebody once said, Pastor, why do you always talk about giving your life to Jesus? And if you're not saved here, because that's the reason. I don't know your hearts. You know, the only heart I know is mine, and sometimes I'm really a little bit screwy about mine. Some of the things I do think, how in the world could you be a Christian and do what you just did? Hey, welcome to my world. You know, that's the way it is. I mean, we need to understand that if you're not saved, you need to trust the Lord. If you are saved and there are things in your life that are hindering you from your walk with the Lord, now's the time to take care of that. I read something this morning I want to share with you. At our lowest, the Lord's our hope. At our darkest, the Lord's our light. At our weakest, the Lord's our strength. And at our saddest, the Lord's our comfort. You see, whatever the need is, we can bring it to the Lord, and He can and He will meet that need. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. And as we come this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray that each one of us would examine our own lives. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us, that we would understand what it is You want from us. Are we living for You? Is there unconfessed sin in our life? We need to give it to You now. Confess it before You now. Lord, we just thank You that we have the opportunity to be here together and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For we pray in His precious name. Amen.